legislation is changing, budgets are shifting, and terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Open a money market account at Kemba Financial Credit Union and enjoy a 4.00% APY intro rate until July 2026, 6 times the national average. Maintain easy access to your funds and secure financial stability. Don't miss out. Offer expires October 31st, 2025. Visit Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Advantage status and $5,000 minimum and $1 million maximum deposit required. APY equals annual percentage yield. Comparison based on FDIC average federal insured by NCUA.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Murder says something. The method? That tells us everything. In this episode, we're not asking whether James Craig killed his wife. The allegations are there. He is innocent until proven guilty. But we're asking, if he did, why did he do it like this? Not quickly, not violently, but quietly, repeatedly, allegedly lacing smoothies with cyanide and the chemical in Visine, letting her suffer, recover, and then spiral all over again, like he was testing dosage, watching systems, and adjusting for effect. This wasn't chaos. It was chemistry. And that alone tells us something deeply disturbing about what was going on inside his head. This episode is about the psychology of poison. What it means when someone kills, not in a moment of rage, but over the course of days, weeks, months, when the harm isn't impulsive, but administered in measured clinical doses by a clinician. When the person allegedly committing the murder is also the one wiping the victim's mouth, texting, "I love you," and playing the role of concerned spouse while their plan unfolds. With me is psychotherapist Siobhan Scott, and we're breaking this one wide open. What kind of person chooses poison? What does it say about their relationship with control, power, and proximity? How does someone use their medical training, their professional expertise, not to save, but to harm? And perhaps most disturbing of all, what kind of psychological state allows someone to appear calm and loving while allegedly poisoning the person they claim to care about? Was this about sadism, narcissistic injury, fear of losing the image, or was it the ultimate act of control? Not just to kill, but to be the one who decided exactly how and when it happened. Let's talk about the murder weapon that hides in plain sight and the mind that picked it. Let's talk about the method to the killing in this case, poison. I got into your room and stabbed you repeatedly, or shooting where you'd think, you know, crime of passion, where they're really in. But this almost seems more intimate. I mean, this is slow. This is not something where mid-80th stab, you're like, shit, this is probably a bad idea. This is, you got months, you got weeks to slowly watch this person die. And there's nothing clicking and you're going, maybe I should lay off emptying the Visine into the strawberry smoothies. Like, maybe this is a bit much. He just kept going and kept going, allegedly. Why choose poison? What does it symbolize in a mind like this?
I think poison helps people rationalize that. I mean, again, this is twisted because obviously they're causing it, but it lets them feel like I'm not a violent person. I'm doing something that's, you know, going to be looked down on, but I'm not doing it real directly. I'm doing it, you know, it gives them the sense of control, of power. And obviously they're sadistic to want to draw it out like this and to be able to witness something like this. There's a cruelty, and I don't know any other word other than sadistic. It's a very dark personality quality.
It is, and it's certainly sadistic. It's certainly controlling. I guess what is behind that desire, you know, for that control? Is it the fear of physical confrontation at the end of the day? Like, when it all comes down to it, what is the worst thing that James Craig was fearing? Was it this wife calling him out publicly for having all these affairs with all these women, not being this family man that he's supposedly everyone thinks he is? That would expose him to his church. It would expose him to that community. It would expose him to his social circle, his workplace, all the things. I mean, then the financial end of it too. She could end up exposing all of that in court as well. Is it that fear of exposure that drives someone like this to take that step of let's eliminate the person who could do the exposing, and then it'll never happen? But it eventually will, because you're just digging your own hole. It's just that one's not going to be the one that does it. It's going to be you yourself that'll expose it. But in that moment, it's not a moment of clarity. It seems like a very much a moment of blinders where they have a false sense of clarity almost.
Right. And thinking that because I'm doing it in this slow, drawn out, subtle way, there's no blood on my hands. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever going to know. And it's insidious and sadistic, as I say. And interestingly, women are more apt to poison than men are. And I think in that case, it's because they feel they have higher odds of succeeding because women are not as strong as men. They're probably not going to try to stab them. But it sure shows the ability to turn off any empathy. And this is probably a person that maybe go through life feigning empathy, pretending to be a nice guy, but in truth, there's a black hole there. There isn't anything.
I mean, when you look at it, the sadistic end of it, do you think James Craig, if he did this, was watching his wife die and getting some sort of thrill out of this, or was that more of an inconvenience? Like, come on, hurry the process up, you know, or is it a some sort of a pleasure, some sort of a God complex where it's like, I'm in control of this.
My guess, it's the latter, that he gets a sense of power out of the control. And also, people like this often get a sense of pleasure out of, look what I'm doing and nobody else knows. So I'm fooling everybody. I'm fooling the doctors even. And that's, you know, incredibly dark.
I mean, witnesses said Craig was calm, even jovial at the hospital. It didn't really raise a lot of red flags to a lot of people. But this is also the same guy who came into the hospital, allegedly. I don't know if he just walked in scrubs or if he went to the bathroom and threw some scrubs on, went into the room of his wife, allegedly, and administered more poison right there in front of other people where they... Well, this is another guy in him. I don't know who he is, but okay. And, you know, nobody is the wiser on something like this. And then he just, not like face covering or anything that looks suspicious, then he gets out of the scrubs, comes back in normal clothes, and nobody's like, weren't you the guy in scrubs earlier, like poisoning your wife? I mean, that's an interesting thing where there had to have been some moments in that hospital where people are wondering, something odd here, but you can't quite put your finger on it because the guy is coming across one way, saying one thing, but acting in a complete different.
Yeah, that's the uncanny aspect of this, that he could so adeptly role play.
Mm-hmm. What does it say about the relationship here in general and just kind of the mindset of both of these folks? I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead of the wife, but they allegedly had kind of a suicide game of chicken going on where they had been suicidal back and forth at different points in times. Craig is trying to claim that he was at certain points and that she was at other points. One of the arguments that they're trying to make on the defense of Craig is that, well, she was suicidal. He was just helping her along. He got her the poison so she could use it if she wanted to. Have we ever seen a case like this where the partner just, yeah, hey, it's over in the kitchen if you want to do it? I mean, it seems bizarre, but in a very unhealthy mindset and in an unhealthy household, I guess that could be a thing.
I have never heard that story. I've heard a lot of weird stories. I have never heard that kind of story before. So it feels to me like a very desperate man who thinks he can spin a tale that people are going to fall for. And I don't buy it at all. I think it's nuts.
There's a family component to this story as well. The manipulation of the family members, especially his daughter, and in the use to cover up the crime. These are not little kids either. These are 20-somes. These are young adults. But obviously still the children of this family. He asked the daughter to try and create a fake video for evidence to cover up the murder plot. He asked her, and I don't think he has any clue of how any of these things work, but he said, I want you to create allegedly a deep fake video of your mother saying that she wants to kill herself. And then there, boom, we have evidence that it's real, that she wanted to do this. I mean, number one, that's nuts. But like number two, I mean, what does that tell us about this guy in terms of his rationale, his way of thinking? He's willing to put his own daughter at risk for a crime that he allegedly committed, have her just do this at his whim. If there's no crime, if there's nothing to cover up, I mean, obviously the daughter's now testifying against him in court, but the fact that he was so grandiose, he thought he could make this ask of her.
Somebody who, again, has no sense of what it means to really love, because you would never put your kid in a position like that. That's insane. Bizarre, your word. Perfectly apt word for this. And, yeah, it's you go on the dark web and have a deep fake video created is wacky, and it just smacks of desperation. But somebody who sees people as objects to use for their own benefit, and when you will do that to your own kid, that's a pretty dark thing.
Are narcissists, especially people with narcissistic personality disorder, and again, I should say, we're not diagnosing him. We don't know what he has, we can't say that, but certainly there's a lot of signs of narcissism in this guy. Are they not good at recognizing minds as they grow in terms of connecting that with their grooming, where maybe for a long time as a father, when she was younger, I mean, it's easier to manipulate a younger person. That's just how that works. I mean, hopefully you're doing it not as manipulation, but as teaching and learning and helping them grow as a good person. But it could go in the other way too, if you're going to fill their mind with nonsense. I'm wondering, was that an overstep on his part where for so long he thought, you know, it's my little girl, I can convince her this or that, and now she's, you know, 21, 22, and it doesn't work the same way.
And narcissistic people, it's a hallmark. They do tend to see their kids as an extension of themselves, and they use their kids, you know, to boost their own ego, to make them feel good. That's why you see parent-child relationships when the kids go up. a grow up, they often have a breach in the relationship because the kids don't want to go along with it anymore. But I think you can say narcissism is on a continuum. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of parents do damage to their kids because they're a little bit narcissistic. This is off the chart. This is in the bizarre category.
When someone stabs, shoots, or strangles, the intent is clear: rage, panic, violence. But when someone poisons, they're not looking to explode. They're looking to control. What we're seeing in this case, if the allegations are accurate, isn't just a murder. It's a performance, a man who's used his knowledge, his calm demeanor, his professional tools to orchestrate harm while playing the part of a loving husband. And as Siobhan laid out, that's what makes poisoners so uniquely chilling. It's the intimacy of it, the slowness, the deception required to keep someone close while killing them. And the psychological detachment it takes to do just that, to measure doses, to adjust delivery, to let your victim get sick and recover, and still have the nerve to stand by their hospital bed and act like nothing's wrong as you slowly sneak more cyanide into their veins. This isn't panic, it's strategy. And what's even more haunting is that Craig may have enjoyed the performance. As we discuss, there's a thrill in the power, the idea that you're smarter than everyone else and you're pulling it off in real time, that the doctors can't figure it out, that no one suspects you. But that's the trap of the high-functioning predator. They believe they're always one step ahead, until they're not. So what does the poison tell us? That this was about more than just ending Angela's life. It was about doing it in a way that gave him total control of her body, her suffering, and the narrative that would follow. Tell me what you think in the comments section on YouTube. And if you're not already there, find us there. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And there we will be. You can do the same thing wherever you download podcasts so you can listen to us and take us on the go. Do that in both places so you don't miss any of what we're putting out. Hit that subscribe button. And please, in the comment section on YouTube, let your voice be heard. Love to get your take on this case. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
In a quiet Chicago suburb, a star wrestler goes missing weeks before his high school graduation, shattering his mother's carefully curated image of the perfect family. Upstanding Young Man by Sharon Doering is a pulse-pounding thriller with complicated family dynamics. Perfect for fans who love suspense. NYT bestselling author Reed Farrell Coleman describes it as tense, evocative, and surprising. Upstanding Young Man grabs you and won't let go. Available now, wherever books are sold. In a quiet Chicago suburb, a star wrestler goes missing weeks before his high school graduation, shattering his mother's carefully curated image of the perfect family. Upstanding Young Man by Sharon Doering is a pulse-pounding thriller described as tense, evocative, and surprising. Available now, wherever books are sold.